Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, South Bay Spotlight, on November 17th, 2016. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Academy of Foreign Languages. If you have any interest in learning a new language or brushing up on existing language skills, you should know about the Academy of Foreign Languages. Located in Palos Verdes, the Academy of Foreign Languages specializes in the art of communication. Their mission is to provide the finest language instruction possible. They recognize that each student has distinctive needs and craft their teaching technique to optimize an individual's particular learning skills. At the Academy of Foreign Languages, they strive to create a comfortable environment conducive to learning. So whether you're learning a new language or would simply like to converse in your native tongue, the Academy of Foreign Languages can accommodate you. For additional information, visit their website at academyofforeignlanguages.com, that's all spelled out, or call 310-975-4133.
I'm your host, Joe Perry, and you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose, that's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. And of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with South Bay by Jackie.com and producer of The South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
I am feeling excellent this morning. You know why?
Why?
Because I went to my contorture class last night.
Contorture?
It's a contortion class, but technically it's really contorture. Yes.
I remember you're saying that it's painful that while you're going through it.
There's a lot of discomfort.
Yeah.
There's a lot of discomfort involved because you're literally being wrapped into a pretzel in some of these positions. But, boy, you feel good afterwards and the ensuing days. You just feel great.
Yeah. Kind of like an extreme yoga.
Extreme stretching. It's not yoga. Say, for instance, you're sitting on the floor with your legs splayed like in a split.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you bend forward and put your hands on the ground in front of you. You try to get as low as possible.
Yeah.
Well, you can do that on your own, but then our contorture master comes and he pushes you.
Yes.
He pushes you further than you can go on your own.
Yeah.
So all you get into all these different splits and back bends and all of these different positions, and then he comes around to each of us and he puts pressure on and he pushes you further than you would go normally.
Right.
So it's very extreme stretching, but boy,
awesome.
Boy, I feel good afterwards. Yeah.
I'm going to make an appointment with my chiropractor. I don't know if you remember, Jackie, but I'd never been to a chiropractor before last year, and my first experience was an amazing one, Dr. Elizabeth Manley, Beach Life Chiropractic in Manhattan Beach. She's amazing. She knows so much about the human body and where all the nerves are and where all the bones are. And my former boss used to call them bone crushers. I'm going to see the bone crusher. And I just like, no thanks. But now I'm committed. I can't wait to see her again.
You know something? I've been going to a chiropractor. I have a great chiropractor, Dr. Richard Cohen.
Mm-hmm.
He's in Riviera Village. And I have been going for him, oh, goodness, at least 25 years.
Yeah.
At least 25 years. And you know, for all those years that I was doing combative martial arts,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I would see him several times a week because I was just beating myself up, you know, or should I say other people were beating me up. But I would see him several times a week. And he's great because – you know, I'd come in and he'd say, oh, what did you do now? You know, and I explain, oh, somebody kicked me, you know, in the back, or somebody, you know, wrenched my arm or something. So I saw him all the time, you know, my husband John and I call him the mechanic, you know, because he just would fix everything. But since I stopped doing martial arts and I'm doing these aerial arts and aerial yoga and contortion and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. I haven't been in to see him in, oh gosh, it's been forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I miss him. I miss him. He must miss me.
Right. Yes, Jackie, I don't exercise enough. I don't stretch enough. Obviously, help a great deal. I know.
Stretching is one of the best things you can do. And you know, as I said, I go to these classes and stuff, but almost every night, not every night, but when I'm home in the evening, you know, before I go to bed, I like to sit down and relax, maybe watch an hour of TV, maybe watch the news, or if there's a program on I like. And I sit on the floor, and I stretch while I'm watching.
Right.
You know, you can do it in front of your TV. You can do it in front of your laptop. You know, you can do it if you're reading. You know, I mean, it's just something that once you get into the habit of doing, you don't think twice about it. So I highly recommend it. You need to stretch more, Joe.
Okay. All right. I think I will. And you know what, Jackie? The other thing that I'm really interested in is health food and foods with high antioxidant, or it's called auric values. You know what? Mm-hmm. What food has one of the highest antioxidant values of any food researched?
As a matter of fact, I do.
Chocolate. You believe that?
I know. It's like a health food. You can literally, well, not all chocolate. Some chocolate, yes.
Darker chocolates,
chocolate that doesn't have like sugar and stuff added to it, like the real thing, the cacao bean, 100% good for you, antioxidants. Yes, I know all this. I learned all this.
You're right.
So, yeah, we're going to talk about this today. You want to hear who our guest is?
Well, what I'd like to do, Jackie, is I'd like to talk to someone who not only knows chocolate, but knows hockey, Jackie.
If they know chocolate
and they know hockey, I can trust them. Okay.
Okay. All right. Okay.
You know someone like that?
I do. Our guest this morning is Jeffrey Gardner, a native of Canada and former hockey ref, now living in Redondo Beach. Jeffrey launched his business, Marsada Fancy Chocolates, right here in the South Bay in 2004. Now, Jeffrey is not a chocolatier. He's a chocolate maker, making the chocolate directly from the cacao bean. They call it bean to bar, Joe. He recently opened a shop in Torrance, which is located at the corner of Del Amo and Anza. And if you haven't stopped by yet, you better make a point to do so soon because you won't believe all the goodness that you're missing. Welcome back to the program, Jeffrey. We're so glad you could join us this morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Jackie, and thank you, Joe. Joe, I think I need that mechanic too.
Oh yeah.
That Jackie was referring to when you guys were talking all about that stretching. Jackie was, oh man, I could feel it in my body already this morning.
Right.
I think I'm going to join a class with you, Joe.
Well, you're welcome to Dr. Elizabeth Manley is awesome. And you do a lot of physical labor in your work, don't you? I mean, making chocolate isn't easy.
You're right. Besides making the chocolate, we do, we've got a little cult following in our pain au chocolat, which is the chocolate croissants that we make as well. And yes, we roll our own dough, and that takes a little bit of physical labor, that's for sure, when you're doing it 3-4 times a week.
Yeah. Now, the thing is, you haven't always been a chocolatier. Is that correct?
Yes. Yep. You're
chocolatier.
Right. Chocolatier and chocolate maker, two different distinctions, I guess, in the trade.
What are the differences?
Yeah, the chocolatier is someone who imports already made chocolate and creates beautiful bonbons, you know, beautiful different chocolate items. And where a chocolate maker takes the cacao beans and actually makes chocolate. Mm. And I used to be a chocolatier. I still am a chocolatier, but I'm also a chocolate maker now as well.
Well, I want to go through that for people that don't know, because this is the thing. people eat chocolate of various kinds, and of course there's mass-produced, you know, chocolate sold on television to children, and yet people don't really get the idea that chocolate is an ancient food. It was certainly well regarded in ancient cultures. Of course, probably the Egyptians. They seem to have access to all of the great technologies of their time. Certainly,
the Mayans,
chocolate is one of them. Absolutely, the Mayans. So let's talk about first principles. What is chocolate?
Chocolate, the basic form of chocolate, at least the way we make it, consists of cacao. So it's the actual chocolate liquor, although there's no alcohol in there per se, but it's called chocolate liquor when the beans, the cacao nibs, have been put into a conching machine and crushed. And chocolate, or at least cacao beans, have a natural, lots of cocoa butter inside. So through friction and movement, the cacao bean turns into liquid chocolate. So our 100% bar that we have is just chocolate liquor. That was it, nothing else. And then, of course, when you want to add that little thing that we all know of called sugar, you know, we have different formulas for different percentage bars that we have. So we would add that accordingly to our, you know, recipe.
Right. Now, many people are you know, very, very aware of the sugar content in the foods that they're eating. Of course, high fat, low carb, low sugar diets are all the rage now. So can you use something other than, let's say, just white chocolate? Can you use brown sugar? Can you use honey? Things like that?
Yeah, absolutely you could. I mean, there's a lot of different sweeteners on the market. I recall my father giving me, before he passed, some stevia that I have never tried personally, but one day I'd like to try it, see what it's like. There's some out there that don't like it for the aftertaste, I've heard. That sometimes gives off. And really, honey does the same thing. It gives a little bit of an aftertaste. There's also coconut sugar out there, you know. So there are various types of sweeteners that are out there. And I'm like a mad scientist in the back trying to figure out which is the most compatible with cacao.
You've been in this business for how long, Jeffrey?
I started in 1993.
Okay.
In Winnipeg and in Canada.
Right.
And I guess I reinvented myself in 2000 after meeting my, well, my now wife now. We were rollerblading on Newport Beach there, and she asked me during one of our conversations what, you know, what I did before, and it was, I used to referee hockey, and I did chocolate, and of course, it seems like any girl these days loves chocolate, and yes, there's men out there too, but some of them don't admit it. So, that kind of got the ball rolling.
Right, right. It's a great story. Your story now, as a successful chocolate maker, chocolatier, is really an amazing story. I mean, the stuff of legend, because You began the business, you began thinking, okay, I'm going to do chocolate, you had a wholesale business going very, very well, and then something happened, didn't it?
Yeah, I started the Marsada brand in late fall 2003, and like any entrepreneur, you rent, you know, a spot, you start out in your house, and you move from there, and you find a place to make your chocolates, and we did the same thing. And then I found a nice location in Redondo Beach, and you know, I have a few kids, Joe, and they're hockey mad just like their dad, and they were playing a little shinny in front of our manufacturing, and our landlady didn't take too kindly to that and gave us a 30-day notice. So, you know, I begged and pleaded on deaf ears, and I still to this day didn't know if she liked children or she didn't like chocolate, but that's history now, you know, and I ended up having to put, you know, all our manufacturing equipment in storage for a couple of years, and we continued on with our farmers markets that we were until I found our place here on Delamo Boulevard on Anza.
Right, right. So. And tell me what that period was like, because, you know, many entrepreneurs are going through that similar sort of it's something that all entrepreneurs
disruption of some sort.
Yeah, but yeah. I was going to say that passage, that period of time, there's something difficult in every entrepreneur's life that they have to overcome. Yours was a little more difficult than most because you found a spot. I think it was your current retail location, but you didn't have the money to renovate it. What happened?
Yeah, well, there was a couple of factors that kind of – everything kind of – went in at once, and I, you know, I look back at it now, and I can just, if I can pass on some, you know, words of advice or wisdom to those entrepreneurs that are listening, never give up, you know, just, I guess for us, we had no time to think about it. You just got to go, go, go. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with the location here versus there, it was kind of, you know, it was the same time the little Dustin was getting ready to be born, and my wife, we almost lost him. Mm. And like I said, Joe, you just keep moving, you know, you keep going. And with the money situation, we found this place, and I had to think back, okay, well, what were the problems there? What were the challenges there? And one of them, of course, was we couldn't keep up. I didn't have the equipment to keep up to our orders at the time.
Mm.
And so I didn't want to go on a, let's say, a GoFundMe page and just ask for money outright. But at the same time, I wanted to give something back. And so that's why we did the Kickstarter. We did a Kickstarter campaign.
Right.
And with that Kickstarter campaign, I'm not sure, but I'm sure there's some people out there that are familiar with that. You are fundraising, but at the same time, they are sponsoring or they are purchasing product for the monies that they're giving back. And so, incidentally, that's the Kickstarter. We're just about now. It's 2 years later, we're just starting to send those Kickstarter campaign requests out. So it's been a long, long road, that's for sure.
Right, right. Many people don't know Kickstarter. You can and are encouraged to provide these. You could call them gifts or promotions. Typically, they're anything and everything except a percentage of the business. So people are not buying into the business, but they're going to get a present. They're going to get something for their money, obviously less than what it costs because you're trying to make money. But also, if you don't hit your limit, like if you say I need $10,000 and it's $9,999 and 2 minutes to go, if it time expires, you don't get a penny.
You're right. And, you know, there are some fundraiser and campaigns out there, platforms, Joe, that I believe that you do get it all. But with Kickstarter, it's not like that.
True.
And,
GoFundMe is one. GoFundMe is just a simple ask. Give me money.
Yeah, and it seems to be those that are, you know, a lot of medical issues are out there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But for business, it seems, you know, a lot go with the Kickstarter. And again, like you were saying, if you don't, you know, reach that goal, and sometimes I think, you know, my goal was a little lofty, and maybe I shouldn't have asked for what I did, but I needed this machinery, you know, and that's specifically what it was for. So at the new location here, I've built a couple windows so people will be able to actually see the machines in operation once that part of the retail and wholesale operation is running. The retail is running now, but as far as the wholesale, there's a few little add-ons I want to fix up. So you
were almost there, almost to the point of getting, but then time was running out.
Yeah, I was almost there, and it was hours, minutes, and I received a phone call and some back and forth talk from one of the best sponsors I could ever have, and that was the Los Angeles Kings Hockey Club.
Wow.
And as the story goes, Kelly Cheeseman, one of the higher ups there, I believe he's the CCO of Anschutz, AEG, the AEG group, read about the story that Richard Foss wrote in the Easy Reader News down in Manhattan Beach. He was walking his dog, and he read about it and said, well, this isn't right, and wanted to fix a wrong and make it right. And so we attained our goal. So our goal was $40,000 for the equipment, and we are so thankful. I mean, the Kings are just amazing. And I have to say, it was not only the Kings. Obviously, it's our supporters, too. I mean, if I didn't have the supporters, we wouldn't have reached that goal. But that last minute, you know, the Kings came through.
Right.
As the story goes, they scored, you know. And, or I scored and they got the great assist, you know, on the score sheet, you know. So it's great. It's great.
It says, the Easy Reader article says 22 minutes to go.
Yeah. And believe me, when I was thinking about it, I'm going, oh man, because you don't get anything back. And I was really thinking maybe I shouldn't have asked for that. Maybe I should just ask for, you know, something very small, but I knew I needed this machinery to get to the next level. You know, because I was, at the time, I was doing a lot of manual work where I blew out both my elbows banging these mallets and molds because I had a very large account. I was doing over 1,000 pounds at the time. Right. I was shipping out to Oregon and to Pennsylvania, you know, for a gelato company.
Right.
And so all those accounts I had to give back, you know, when we closed down. I had quite a few accounts and, you know, now I've got three, and I've got a whole new set of problems, you know, that I'm trying to overcome, and we will overcome, you know.
Right.
Wait, 22 minutes left in the period, right? Is hockey is periods?
Well, there it's actually 20 minute periods, but let's say there was some overtime, right?
Okay, yeah, 22 minutes left in the period, and somebody has to score.
Right.
That's right. And the Kings did, big time. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So,
well, we've talked a little bit about the backstory. I just needed to get that in because it's such an amazing story. We didn't talk really about your son needing he was premature, was that?
Yeah, he was born at 30 weeks. He was taken out of Naomi's body there, yeah, and Three pounds, just over 3 pounds, 30 weeks, and he had hemorrhage of his brain, bleeding of the brain, and he had some heart issues too. But I'm happy to say he's bounced back. He still has some balance issues, and he had some recent surgery on his teeth as well. So sometimes, you know, we all hope for healthy babies, and there's sometimes when they're taken out a little early, there are some shortcomings, and we hope that's the last of it.
Right. How old is he now?
He just turned 2 in September.
Okay.
So,
you know, I just have to say that my husband John was a preemie, and he was only like 3 pounds something ounces.
Yeah.
And look at John, right?
Look at how robust he is now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You would never guess it, right?
No, he's big. He's a bruiser.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
People would never guess that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He was just a little tiny baby.
Wow. Wow, that's amazing.
What's what's your son's name?
His name is Dustin, like Dustin Brown. We didn't have a name for him, of course, because he's, you know, brought into the world very early.
Yeah.
And our daughter, Emma, named him after Dustin Brown of the Los Angeles Kings. So.
Dustin and Emma.
Like,
wonderful. And now let's
and
turn.
Tegan and Oliver as well.
Oh, boy. You have how many children?
Joe, we have four. And that's all I'm going to say. So.
That's all you need to say. You've been busy.
Yeah. Well, I knew I needed some help in here, and we needed some Oompa Loompas, right? And so they're the perfect fit for that. Emma's our star helper. She's there's been quite a few customers come in here, and if we're busy, she's right there helping them, and she loves to help.
Right. Wonderful, wonderful.
Yeah.
It's just a joy to hear about a family-run company doing what you do. Now, what you do, let's get down to it. What you
yeah,
do...
the fun stuff.
...is, Jeffrey, you make what people are calling the finest chocolate in the world.
Yeah, I have to point it towards our cacao beans and, of course, how I process the chocolate as well. You can't just receive a certain batch of cacao and make, you know, good chocolate. There's got to be some technique involved. And, of course, you know, you have to have good beans. And I like to think I have a little bit of both. The 100%, when you taste the 100%, which has no additives, nothing added, and it's, obviously it's the easiest chocolate for me to make, it's special. It really is special. And so I regularly sell out of that, the 100%. So, and,
yeah.
You know, the 89, which just has 11% sugar, that's really special as well. So, we have, a different variety of chocolate, and it is very, very smooth, but what's really, really neat is it's not bitter. I don't know if you remember, Joe, going up to your mother or dad's cupboard, the pantry there, and taking some of that baker's chocolate when no one was looking. I certainly did. And
yeah.
It was a big surprise because I never took, I may have taken one more after that, but I always was reminded of that because it was so bitter.
Yes.
Well, this stuff isn't bitter. It's bold, certainly bold, but it's not bitter. And
yeah.
That's what makes it very special.
Hey, Joe, let's
yeah.
do our station break right now.
Right.
And then we're going to come back. And I was recently over at Jeffrey's shop, and I got to tell you my experience.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the South Bay Show. We're on 3 days a week, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. And I hope you will join us. We are currently talking to literally one of the world's finest chocolate makers. He's also a chocolatier, but he is one of the finest chocolate makers, and he's right here in the South Bay at Anza and Delamo. And you can also find out more at Marsatta, MarsattaCom. So we will be back with Jeffrey Gardner. The phone number, yes,
yeah.
Please. If you are interested in chocolate, if you don't like chocolate, that's okay. But if you're interested in chocolate and you'd like to ask a question or you have a comment and you'd like to talk to Jeffrey, please give us a call at 714-242-5288. That's 714-242-5288. Especially if you're listening live, we'd love to have your comment or question on the air. Please give us a call. And now we're back. So, Jeffrey, Jackie was in your shop recently.
Yes, she was. And I have to tell you, Joe, that she was never a really huge chocolate fan. In fact, she ate very few chocolates. And she had her special friend from New York that was along with her for this special visit. And through the prodding of her friend, She said, oh, no, I can't. I don't like chocolate, you know, and her friend saying, oh, you got to just try this. This is amazing. And yes, Jackie did taste the chocolate, and she was pleasantly surprised. And, of course, I had the biggest smile on my face. That's for sure. I can have it. I can take it off.
I was blown away, actually. I was blown away.
What's different about Lip versus
Well, first off, anybody that knows me knows that I'm not so much a sweet person. I'm more of a salty person. Like if I'm going for a snack, I'll go for the pretzel or the popcorn, something salty, right?
I'm not that big of a sweet person.
So anyway, my friend Julie, my best friend Julie was visiting from New York, and she is a huge chocolate person. I mean, she really is. Like, and she travels around the world, and one of the things when she travels is to look for the great chocolate. I guess there are some parts of the world where, you know, there's world famous chocolate, and she goes to markets and she reads about stuff and she goes out looking for chocolate. All right,
she's a connoisseur. Yeah,
she is a chocolate connoisseur. So anyway, when I had heard that Jeffrey had opened his shop and I knew she was coming in to visit, I put it on my list of things for us to do because I knew she would really enjoy that. So we went over there early one evening. And Jeffrey is just getting his store set up, all right? He literally is, you know, he's in the back making chocolate. He's got his display case and stuff, but he's still setting up shop. So I knew that I think, Jeffrey, a while back you had sent me an email saying that you were open and you were doing chocolate and tea tastings on Tuesday,
yes.
Thursday nights, right?
Yep.
From like
yep.
6 to 9. And his
six
wife,
nine, yeah.
Naomi, makes these home-brewed iced teas.
Yeah.
Cacao teas, yes.
Yeah, yeah. She uses chocolate in some of these teas. So I thought, oh, Julie would love this. We'll go for a chocolate and tea tasting. So
right.
We went over there one night, and Jeffrey has three jars. Well, first off, we walked in, and I introduced Jeffrey to Julie, and they just started talking. You know, they – they just started talking a language I didn't even understand. You know, they were talking about chocolate people and chocolate this. So I just sat down. I'm sitting there listening to them go back and forth and everything, right? So
yeah.
He has these three jars on the table. And they're little would we call them nibs, Jeffrey? They're about the
yeah.
size, a little bigger
yeah.
than a coffee bean maybe, about the size.
Mm-hmm.
And he has
yep.
these, like, mason jars on the table. And after they are talking all their chocolate stuff, he says, okay, I want you to taste these. And he gives us each a couple of these nibs. And were they 84%, Jeffrey?
No, the nibs are 100, the actual nibs. Or are you talking the actual little pieces of chocolate? Yeah, there was 100, 89, and 74, yeah.
Okay,
in
okay.
the mason
so,
jars, yeah.
Right. So he gave us the 74% ones first.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I don't like dark chocolate, but Julie ate it, and she's like, try it. So I tried it, and I was like, oh, wow, that's not like any dark chocolate I've ever tried before. It wasn't bitter, all right? There was no bitterness at all.
Mm-hmm.
So him and Julie are talking more chocolate stuff, and he says, okay, try this one. So he gives us the next one, which was 89%, right?
89.
So now I'm like, okay, so I just pop that in my mouth, and I'm like, This it was unbelievable, Joe. There was no bitterness.
Mm-hmm.
And Julie was like, this is incredible, right? So then he gives us the 100% ones, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Julie is afraid to try it. She's like, I have never done it. She's tried to eat 100% chocolate before, but she hasn't been able to, all right? Because I guess
mm-hmm.
it's just too powerful for her. Well, by this point, I'm like, you know, Mr. Brave, right? So I pop it right in my mouth, and I'm like – oh, my God. I'm like, this is it was unbelievable. There was no bitterness. It was – and I'm like – I looked at Julie. I'm like, try it. You can eat it. Try it. You know, it's edible.
Right.
So she ate it, and she was freaking out. She was freaking out because she's like – she first off, she tries to eat very healthy. She works really hard at eating healthy. She doesn't put anything into herself that isn't good for her. So she goes right to – this is 100% good for you, and it's good, and it's chocolate. And this is a health – she was like, this is a health food. This
right?
is a health
yeah.
food, you know,
right.
and she was just so blown away by the whole thing. So you know, we got through those three, and we're eating 100% chocolate. In the meantime, he had these little cacao beans on the table that he had roasted, and I'm just peeling the thing off. I'm just eating them raw, right?
Yeah, right.
So, and they're talking their chocolate talk, right? And then he goes into the case, and he pulls out like fancy chocolate candies, you know, candies with stuff inside
with
of
bonbons,
them.
Bonbons, yeah.
And he pulls out these chocolate covered orange peels. All right. I mean, it was amazing. I mean every single thing. And Jeffrey, tell me some of the different flavors. You had chocolate with Thai tea. You had chocolate.
Yeah,
with
there was a
nut.
Coconut oolong black tea. There's the Thai tea. There was the pomegranate that you guys tasted. There was also the the Jarling black tea with chili and cinnamon and chili pepper. You guys had a good variety of the different tea infusions. Absolutely.
Yeah, and we
looked at you were chomping on those cacao beans, you know? I'm like,
yeah.
It's like a sunflower seed for you.
Yeah, exactly. But then, you know, so we're trying all these, and I have to tell you, you know, we get around the holidays, we get boxes of candy. You know, we get growing up in New York, it was the Russell Stover here at See's Candy.
Yeah.
You know, and you try all these things and you bite into them and you don't know what you're getting, you know. But Jeffrey also makes his own fillings.
Right.
And these fillings, when you bite, instead of popping the whole chocolate into your mouth, when you bite into the chocolate, whatever's in the inside, literally, it drips down your chin. It's so smooth and delicious and full of flavor. And then, this is when I had my epiphany, all right? He gave me a sea salt caramel. Sea salt caramel chocolate, is that what you call it?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Salted caramel, yeah.
Oh, my God.
The ultimate salt sweet.
It was salted caramel chocolate, and it was a party in my mouth. It was unbelievable. It was an explosion. It was so good. It was so it was so good. I ended up buying you can buy them individually. I got a little box of them and brought them home because John is a chocolate fiend. And I knew he would love them, and I brought them home, and it was like, you know, it was like sacred. I said, "Okay, these are really really fancy chocolates. Do not just throw them in your mouth and eat them." I'm like, "You can have one now." You know?
Just one.
Just one. So we ended up buying some different things. Julie bought some different things, and then she was going home Sunday. I think she had to be at the airport at noon or 12:30. Saturday night we were coming back from Manhattan Beach, and she said, "Oh my goodness, we have to stop at the chocolate stuff. I need to get some more stuff to bring home with me." So we ran over there again on Saturday night and tasted some more stuff and bought some more stuff. And last thing I remember was she was going to take a picture of your 100% chocolate bar in front of, like, the Empire State Building or something.
Yeah.
I can't
wait to receive that. She did email me and said, "I haven't forgotten." So I know she's going to get there.
Yeah, I think she was going to do, like, a whole montage, the Statue of Liberty, the Empire State Building, all the New York landmarks.
I feel bad for Joe because Joe's listening to this story here, of course.
Yeah.
I'm at the chocolate store, and he's got nothing in front of him. So.
I'm suffering, but I have to tell you, though, I'm not really, because I'm so looking forward to meeting you.
Yeah.
Tell me two things. There's one that really fascinates me as a software developer and as a marketer, an online marketer. Marsatta, been the word, Marsatta. And you dominate the first two pages of Google. What is that about?
The name or the domination?
Where does the name come from, and how did you find it, and why is it so unique?
Well, I was heading to the Hollywood Bowl one evening with my wife. This is back, you know, shortly after we've met, and I think we were married by then, and we were heading to a, you know, one of the events there at Hollywood Bowl, and I had my little flask of wine, and we were hopping on the bus, and I had some of our chocolate, and really it's just an acronym. So it was a bunch of letters that we, you know, we are trying to describe how good this chocolate is, and each letter signified, you know, M was marvelous, A was something else, and I still have the original piece of paper. And then we kind of order of elimination, Joe, and knocked off, you know, a couple, a few more T's, and was left with the two T's, and it had a nice ring to it. You know, I've got, besides our Canadian heritage, I have some Italian and certainly French, my mother being from France. I thought, you know, that would be perfect.
Right.
So that's how the Marsada name came about.
It really is amazing how this happens, because I am at worldchocolateguide.com.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to worldchocolateguide.com, which I'm assuming you have nothing to do with and have maybe even never heard of before.
No. Are we on there or no? Probably not.
worldchocolateguide.com/brand/Marsada. 612 Meyer Lane, Unit 10. I assume that's your old location.
Yeah, that's our old location, right.
But you click on the link, and it's World Chocolate Guide contributor Naomi writes, and
okay.
It must be your wife, and it's a little article about you and your chocolate, and it's like that all over the internet. Marsada is synonymous with world-class chocolates all over the world.
Thank you.
That's it.
Thank you so much. I got to, you know, thank everyone else.
You're a marketing genius, or maybe it's Naomi. I don't know.
I don't even recall that, but I'll have to check it out, absolutely.
You know, beyond that, though, you do farmers markets. How many farmers markets do you do?
We have always done three markets. We've done Tuesday at Manhattan Beach, Thursday, today, at Redondo Beach, and Saturday at the Torrance Market over on Crenshaw Boulevard. That's our biggest there. We've had to give up the Tuesday market at Manhattan Beach. It's just a little too much for us right now. So we've kept the Thursday Redondo Beach and the Saturday at the Torrance Market there. It's just, you know, a lot to do. Naomi runs the, you know, front of the store, and I'm at the back, and
go ahead. Well, like you say, you have a retail location now, so that requires the hours. You got to put the hours in.
Yeah, and I know where our roots, you know, how we all started, and certainly those visitors at the farmers market kept us in business, you know, when we didn't have a store, so I never want to forget them. But the idea is to eventually get them to all visit the store here. You know, that's what we really want.
Mondays through Thursdays, and Sunday, noon to 9, Friday and Saturday, noon to 10. Oh, now, those are old numbers.
Yeah, those are kind of, you know, being just open, those hours we're still trying to figure out. We are definitely here after 10 a.m. when the kids are in school. So, and the Tuesday, Thursday that Jackie mentioned, you know, we're open till 9. There are some days that we're closed, you know, at 6 p.m., like on a Wednesday. But generally speaking, on the weekends, we're open till 9. But it's best to call ahead probably a good piece of advice.
Wow. Jeffrey, what is it that you would say to people about the business of being a producer? You're a manufacturer of something that is very special, that a lot of people think they know, but perhaps don't know the finest examples of. What would you say? How do you describe your business if someone just, you know, you've never met and you describe, well, this is what I do?
I guess, Joe, I've got to grab him a chair and get him to sit down, because it's a little bit of a story and a little bit of a process, you know, going from, you know, a chocolatier to a chocolate maker, if I'm, you know, able to tell that story. And is that where you're getting at as far as the differences, or?
Sure. Yeah. There's a couple of different aspects. Like for you, the experience of being on your own, you're living the American dream.
Yeah, absolutely we are. And I want the best for my customers. I tell people I may not be the best businessman. I have weaknesses as well. But I want to provide the best. I only want the best. I can't give second best to them, you know. And that's what keeps me driven. I just want to provide. I know when they leave this store, they've got a smile on their face, and I've done my job. You know, I've provided them with the best products. And so I'm always, you know, like I said, I'm always tinkering in the back, trying to even excel and get better at the craft I do, you know, whether it's discovering a new flavor or something different that I maybe tinker with a cacao bean, or maybe it has something to do with the roasting. Perhaps it has something to do with, I do a little bit of marinating as well, where I may put a little bit of alcohol in there to try and change flavor of foods, mm-hmm. without having to add anything, you know, too heavy later on. Mm-hmm. So I'm always testing things out, and I just, like I said, I just want the best for people. And sometimes in business, you know, that can work too.
Where do you see, of course, you've got a family, you've got to look towards the future, growing the business. Where do you see the business in 2, 3, 5 years? What endpoint are you trying to get to?
Well, you know, with the business growing, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs, I think, face this. We would like to scale up. And so, you know, the bars are readily available here in the South Bay and in Los Angeles. I'd like to grow it to a certain point that they're available, you know, all around the world on very freely basis. And when I say that, I mean where there's no delay at all right now. You know, there's challenges in keeping up. And so to be able to scale up, you know, you need a little bit of funding to do that. And perhaps, you know, the investor route is a good way to reach that goal. And that's what we're finding right now. So in 2, 3, 5 years' time, I mean, I would say initially I want to be able to provide to my family. By no means are we out of this yet. We're still, you know, a struggling business in the sense that, you know, we have a location now. We're so thankful that, you know, we have customers and they are visiting. But I'm having challenges of going out and getting, you know, my wholesale customers back because I'm not able to. And it's a great problem to have, absolutely. But I need to hire people at some point. But, you know, you need money to hire people. Not everyone is going to work for chocolate, right, Joe?
No. Jeffrey, I'm quitting my job today.
No, you do a great job, you and Jackie. You guys sit right there. You guys are amazing.
I'm going to still do the radio show, but I'm selling chocolate from now on. That's what I'm doing.
Well, I'll give you a percentage. Absolutely. You're in the OC or are you in the South Bay?
I'm in the South Bay.
I guess you can go all over, right?
That's right.
Yeah. So we can certainly talk about something on the side, you know? Absolutely. Those are challenges that, you know, that are real, that we're facing right now. I met up with an investor, a potential investor yesterday, that is interested and wanted to hear more about the story and how we work and about our beans and how he's looking for, you know, a footprint that he can put on and, you know, as far as the healthy way to go. And I've got some, you know, amazing cacao, and I have a great farmer, cacao planter named Sean, that's amazing, you know, that's doing some great things, and I want to be able to team up with him as well. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. that's some of the challenges that we're facing right now.
Well, one of the things we talk about often, Jackie and I, with various guests, are every business person needs three professionals that they trust: a great attorney, a great accountant, and a great insurance person.
Isn't
and then
true?
The fourth one we added was a great technical person, like a website or online marketer. Mm-hmm. But as I described, you already own Google. Marsada and Google are friends, and you already own that. So
I have great support. That's for sure. And if anyone wants some of our support, I'd be happy to share the team that I'm involved with, because right from the start, I've had, whether it's individuals, it's families that have come up to us and wanted to help and ask, what can we do, you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
sometimes it's kind of embarrassing, you know? We know in our minds we need the help, but we don't like asking, you know?
Right.
And there's a lot
right.
of people out there that need help, you know? So
right.
anytime we can help, we're certainly there as well. And isn't that what this world is about?
Right.
You know, Jeffrey, I was at an event last week or the week before. I was talking to Michael Zislis, the owner of Shade Hotel and and several restaurants around town. And, and Richard Foss was there as well. And so the three of us were talking, and I was telling them about my trip to your shop, and you know what Michael said? He said he has a vending machine at the new hotel. He said, shoot, he can come down and throw some candy bar, the
bars,
the truffle bars in there. Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah. So,
Is it like one of those high-tech vending machines that you see downtown in the Beverly Hills area that dispenses like not muffins, but cupcakes and so forth?
Yeah.
It's
all high-end stuff. It's all high-end stuff. So
it has to have the finest chocolate in the world.
Yes, it has. Exactly. So you should definitely talk to him and get some of your bars in there.
Yeah, I like to say not high-end, but high quality. Absolutely.
High quality.
Yeah.
Listen, the show is flying by, and I just want to tell everybody, if you have a chocolate lover in your life, all right, seriously, this holiday season, or for their birthday, or for your anniversary, or whatever the special occasion is. I mean, it doesn't have to be special occasion, but these chocolates are so wonderful. Go over to the store, buy. You can mix and match. You know, he has these little boxes. You can get 5 or 12, and you can mix and match the different chocolates, and it will be a much, much appreciated gift. Trust me. Even if the person doesn't like chocolate like me, give them a gift of this chocolate. It will rock their world.
Seriously. Thank you so much, Jackie. Yeah,
I'm just saying it like it is.
You put a huge smile on my face. It was an amazing night. Just to see your reaction, because when I heard, you're all about savory, and I understand there's no right or wrong answer. Everyone has, personalities and favorites. But I like to say convert you, at least to our brand anyways. It was great to see you. It was amazing. And then, every so often, Julie and I would look up and we're looking at you, and she's going in her New York accent, what are you doing? You still eating those things? The Calvies, Oh, man, it was a funny night. It was great.
Great visiting you and getting to try all that wonderful stuff. So one more time, give us the address, give us the website address, give us the phone number. How can people get Marsada? Is it Marsada chocolates or Marsada fancy chocolates?
It used to be fancy, but I don't like that. You know, I just like Marsala chocolate. That's it.
Okay.
You know,
right.
They can discover what it is, you know.
Okay.
I don't need to say that. So
okay.
I like Marsala chocolate. So it's at 4604 Del Amo Boulevard, but as some of our customers have said, make sure you tell them it's on Anza, though. So always tell them that. So we actually face Anza, which is really strange, but the address is 4604 Del Amo Boulevard. So we're right next to a Pizza Hut that's close by. There's a gas station straight across from us. Or, of course, online at marsada.com, www.marsada.com, or
right.
give us a phone call. I don't answer all the phone calls because I'm in the back making chocolate all the time. So please bear with us and have some patience. The number is 310-318-0489. And I just want to quickly thank you guys. You guys are gracious hosts, and I got to get Joe some of our chocolate as well.
I'm coming to visit you. We're going to talk.
Oh, I hope so, because I got to meet Jackie, and she's just wonderful. Her and Julie were a ball of fun, that's for sure. And I was surprised to see them Saturday night. Sure enough, they came back again, you know? it was awesome. It was really great experience, you know, seeing those two. But and I thank you all the listeners out there, and just the people that have supported us. I can't thank you enough. Just the little things that we had, you know, and what we experienced, and we're still, like I said, still going through. We're not out of it yet. We're still challenged, but we'll get there. And we've got something special here that we want to, you know, share to everyone. So I'll be quiet now.
I can see the corner of Del Amo and Anza becoming a pilgrimage site for chocolate lovers around the world, right?
Wouldn't that be something?
I mean, seriously, I could see some fancy Frenchmen or Belgian people coming around, sniffing around Redondo Beach going, yeah, rumor has it there's some great chocolate around here. Let's go find it. You know, I could see it, you know, making a pit stop. They have a layover at LAX, and they jump into Uber. They bring me to Del Amo.
That would be awesome. They'll get their chocolate, and they'll get a big hug from us as well.
There you go.
And I love the fact that you're highlighting. I guess it's cacao from Belize.
Yes. It's very, very special cacao. I've worked with a lot of different cacaos, and you know, I developed this relationship with, as I said, Sean. My farmer, and I know him personally, Joe. I talk to him. There was sometimes I was talking to him 3-4 times a week, and we're talking, you know, things to do with the farm. We're talking about potential teaming up. You know, he's a great man. He has a great family, and he's going to get me over there, and I'm going to teach the natives there how to make chocolate. I mean, go figure that. They grow it, but they would like me to teach them how to make chocolate, and I'm very excited to be part of their journey as well.
What an adventure!
Yeah,
that is awesome.
Yeah. I just want to help people as much as I can, because we've been helped. So I want to do the same.
Yeah.
You know,
that would be
my dream. Is my sons aren't playing hockey yet, and I want to get them back to being on the ice. So hopefully I get to do that, and hopefully I can help other children as well, because children are just awesome.
And you do online sales as well, correct?
Yes, absolutely, yep.
So people
can
go
order
to our
online,
site.
And we'll be happy to fill your order.
Awesome. I'm ordering online right now, and then I will come and see you as well.
Oh, awesome, great. Great. We can't wait to meet you, Joe. I've talked to you now twice, and we haven't met yet. So.
That's right.
In fact, you know, our first interview, was it a couple of years ago, a year and a half ago? Maybe?
Yeah.
I thought it was January or something, wasn't it, Jackie?
Yeah.
And when Jackie came in, I'm like, at first I thought, well, didn't I do it at the studio? And she goes, no, we did it on, you know, on the phone. I'm like, because
it's so
intimate.
Jeffrey, we met, you know, we met in person at a farmer's market, because my husband met you too. He said to me after I went into your shop, he said, yeah, I met him. He said, we saw him at a farmer's market. So
right.
We did meet in person, but we did the radio show over the phone. Yeah.
Right.
All right, we got to wrap this up, Joe.
We got to wrap it up. Jeffrey Gardner, thank you so much for joining us today.
I had a great time experiencing, some laughter with you guys, and I thank you so much.
One of the finest chocolate makers and chocolatiers in the South Bay, if not in California.
In the world.
It's just, Jackie, another example.
We're talking global, Joe.
We're talking global. Another example of the special place called the South Bay of Los
Angeles. You never have to leave.
You
have everything you need right here, including world-class chocolate.
Thank you, Jackie.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
That's our show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us today. Please join us on a regular basis, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays at thesouthbayshow.com or at southbaybyjackie.com. See you soon. Bye-bye.